Hello and welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and believe it or not, this is episode 150 for October 22nd of 2010. And on tonight's podcast, we've got Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, everybody.
We've got Nathan Hernandez.
Hello.
Hunter Nix.
What is up?
And TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad we're back to playing football again. Yeah.
Are we?
Well, we got another chance. How's that?
Yeah.
That's true.
You don't really know what you're going to get totally, but we do have another chance.
Well, I'd rather have football than not. I kind of feel bad for the Pac-12 fans right now. So.
Yeah, that's what Mark was saying to me today. He was like, I would like to have a better record than 1-3, but at least we're playing football.
No doubt. Yeah, that's amen. True. I feel bad for those kids.
I do feel bad. But one group I am not feeling bad about, and that is TCU Soccer, who is now in the top 5. How about that? They are kicking butt.
Yay. Go girls.
What's their record?
I believe they are undefeated.
Something.
Yeah, they are undefeated. Something I don't know how many games they've played.
Something in zero. I don't remember how many wins they've had. But, I mean, it's been a fantastic season so far.
At some point, we're good.
Yeah. So, yeah, congratulations to them. Keep going because it has been fantastic to see just that program just continue year after year, get better and better and better. So. That's fantastic. Something else TCU fans are seeing getting better and better. Well, maybe not the team in itself, but Andy Dalton's prospects as of now, he is now the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. And although last Sunday's game was nothing to write home about, I'm just glad to see Andy Dalton A, starting, and B, getting a chance with the Cowboys. So as a Cowboy fan, I hope he can do better this season.
I just want to know what he does with his hair during the game. It stays so perfect all the time. Like he's got some special kind of gel.
There's a mold in his helmet that goes to the hair.
Yeah. A mold.
He perfectly coiffed.
He played really well up until like throwing that last pick, but like definitely put them in a chance to should be a close game. He started out 14 for 18, was perfect on his first, like, two drives.
All they really got to do is win the division, too. So,
yeah, you know. So you got to win, like, five games.
Yeah, exactly. It's possible.
Yeah, they're still leading. But, yeah, he gave Michael Gallup a touchdown that he dropped. Zeke gave him 14 points off of two fumbles. And game got away from him.
Yeah, Dalton was not the reason why that game was lost.
He did well in my book. I thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
Name me three offensive linemen.
Name you three offensive linemen.
Do they have to be playing right now?
No.
Because if they're on IR, I can name you some.
Just think about that. A year, even 2 years, but a year ago we had four. Freaking
all pros, Pro bowlers.
We lost Zach Martin on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's a bad situation. But you know what? Dalton has experience with bad offensive lines. So if anything, I mean, you know, he knows how to scramble and stay alive. So hopefully that'll do him well this season. I hate to see him end up like Dak, but we'll see how it goes. But, hey, in any event, like I said, at least now I know what to ask for Christmas, a nice Andy Dalton Cowboy jersey. So
While he's alive. Yeah.
It'll all be good. So, as WC has mentioned early on, we are playing football again this week. And this week we have the Oklahoma Sooners coming into Fort Worth. And hopefully we do a little bit better than we did against Kansas State. At least the offense, because this is a team so far that's kind of given us some ups and downs on both sides of the ball week after week. The defense is showing some signs that they're starting to get it, and we all know the defensive scheme here at TCU is one of the ones that's kind of the last piece of the puzzle that kind of comes together and clicks. It is one of the more difficult aspects of this football team, but the offense has really got me worried. What are you guys expecting to see on Saturday?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't. I mean, I'm going to tell you. I mean, I thought for sure we were on the right direction, and all of a sudden it looked like we took 3 steps backwards. You know, so 2 weeks to prepare. Hopefully, you know, hopefully they got some stuff worked out, because we are going to see a lot of a second string or third string quarterback if we continue to let Max get hit like he's getting hit every week. He needs a week off just to not to
just
practice.
Repair his kidney.
Yeah, I mean, he is. And for some reason, I don't know how it happens, but when we give up a sack, we give up a guy sprinting, it looks like he's on a 10-yard dead sprint and just explodes into it. I mean, he doesn't get wrapped up and flung down. He gets hit.
Yeah. And, you know, offensively, we're going to have to score a lot of points. They're going to score. I mean, they're averaging 41 points a game. You know, that is helped by an overtime, but they haven't scored under 30.
Four overtimes.
Yes, that is helped by overtime, you know.
Not one,
but
four.
But, yes, but still, they're scoring tons of points a game. You know, I mean, they haven't scored under 30 yet. They've lost 2 games, but it's been because they've had turnovers. They're still scoring. They're just making mistakes. So TCU is going to have to do something on offense to keep up, because we can't expect this to be a 21-17 game. They're going to score points. I mean, that's what they do. That's what Lincoln Riley's done, and we've never stopped him. So why would I think it's going to be any different this year? We're going to have to score.
Yeah, I think what we need to see from them is they have to control the clock. They need to put long drives together. Long time-consuming drives, and then they have to finish the drive. They can't come away from long drives with no points. And that's where we kind of screw. We shoot ourselves in the foot, and, I mean, it's kind of the same situation as the Cowboys. Like, our O-line is just not doing well. Either it's false starts, holdings, stuff that puts us behind the chains. When we do have a good drive, we just shoot ourselves in the foot after we get past the 50 and have to go back and take us out of any point field goal to TD range. So we have to finish drives.
Yeah, that's been kind of the issue with the offense the last couple of years, though. I mean, you know, that lack of discipline on the offensive line, holds, false starts. Like you said, you seem to get a little bit of a drive going, and then you get to about the 40, and the next thing you know, it's, you know, a penalty, you know, a couple of bad calls, a sack at an opportune time, right? And it's just something that's just happened. Now, I mean, the incompletion aspect of it seems to be better this year than it was last year. I mean, we seem to be doing better from a receiver point of view, but the offensive line situation is just such an up-in-the-air situation that, you know, you can't let these guys have a free shot, like Dubber was saying. You can't let them have a free shot on Max, because they're going to put him in the locker room quick.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing, you know, the good thing is, I don't think anybody knows what to expect for sure. And if we could just put it, you know, so the first week, you know, when Dugan came in, I mean, we played pretty good, you know, the second half and all that. Then the second week, offense looked good. Third week, it was almost like we took a step backwards and the defense stepped up. Now, I will say this about the defense. I'm not saying the defense is back, and they did improve, but Kansas State's not just a big juggernaut as far as offensively.
And they had their backup quarterback in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is going to be a little different. This is going to be a little different test. But now I will say this. It'll be interesting to see if Patterson can get to the freshman and the quarterback and stuff like that. The great thing about this conference is, I mean, if we play good, we win. I mean, you know,
we got to
come out and perform.
I just thought about,
we can't pick up a basic twist, though. I'm still telling you about this line. I mean, it's real simple. I watch people do it against us the whole game, and I watch them miss it about 4 different times. I'm like,
how many times do you think Oklahoma's going to do that?
Well, if I'm doing it, I'd do it a whole bunch.
A lot.
But learned how to pick it up yet. But the other part of that is, you know, going along with the clock, we got to find us a running back. I mean, I know we got five of them supposedly, but we need to at least, I want my three quarter running backs, whoever they're playing, two or three or four, to have more yardage than my quarterback at the end of the game. Because right now, it's not a real good sign that the quarterback's leading the team in rushing either. I mean, that's just, I mean, we got a good stable of backs basically, and for some reason, you know, I mean, well, K-State game we started out running real well. I don't know what happened. We got away from it, but I agree. We got to control the clock some, and we got to find a running back or two.
The issue with having,
you know, you can have too many and keep running them in and out. You don't get any consistency. You don't get any continuity with that.
Yeah, and that's what I was gonna say. Is like the issue with having like five running backs is running backs are, and everybody uses the example of like quarterbacks. They need to get in a rhythm. They need to make short throws and then they just quick ones that way they can get going and like kind of get used to getting the ball out of their hands. Running backs need to do the same thing. They need a couple runs that kind of get them going and develop a rhythm with the O-line and just seeing holes and everything. But if you're switching them in and out constantly, it's impossible for them to do it. They need multiple drives to kind of get that rhythm going. And just as like an example, like Zeke Elliott, like not now because all the issues, but there's been so many interviews of defensive backs and stuff that have said like by the end of the game, he's gotten in such a rhythm of just pounding the ball and pounding the ball that he just wears them down and gets into that. Like as the game goes on, a lot of people get fatigued, but he just gets stronger as the game goes on. And so we need to develop at least just two or three mm-hmm. running back, consistent running backs that can come in and pound the ball and just do their. And we had it with like Kyle Hicks, AG, and Poe, Travoris Johnson. One of them was elusive, one of them was a pounding heavy back, and one was just like a consistent every down back. And so we need situational backs that can come in and perform, but we don't need five because it just runs into too many problems.
So what, go to the wishbone?
Yep.
I mean, honestly, we definitely need to run the ball more, but that doesn't mean we need to slow down in my estimation. To me, I don't think we need to slow down on offense because whenever we slow down, we don't play as well. Whenever we've had tempo, we've made good drives. Like, I mean, that first drive with Barlow, he had, I think, five rushes for like 50 yards on that drive. He was the main force behind it. We were going fast, but, you know, it was a running offense. You just keep those defenders on their toes and, you know, don't let them substitute as well. Then, you know, it makes for a lot easier job on the offensive side of the ball, and then offensive line as well. Those guys, you know, it's easier to run block than pass block. So definitely I think we need to establish the run, and we do have the running backs. We just need to feed them. I mean, we absolutely do. We got to pick at some point, you know.
Well, in the second half, I think Foster had a lot of good success as well when he was running the ball.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you said it's easy to run block. I was coming up as either pass block or run block. That's why Leach started to run in the running guard in checks because of the linemen. I mean, that's one of the reasons, because you could teach the five guys how to pass block, so the five guys have to come up and try to beat on somebody. But I think it's just because of the different linemen and the different defensive line today and stuff like that. But you're right. I mean, as far as our team, because we can run block a lot better than we pass block. That's for dang sure.
Especially with these Oklahoma D linemen. They're always big boys. They're hard to move. So.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, another thing is, we I don't know how we're going to do it. We got to get some pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you like it, I don't love the guy at quarterback personality-wise. You let him sit back there, even if he's a freshman, he's going to pick you apart.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, Spencer Rattler is good. He's very good. He's not the person I like. He's got the worst personality of an OU quarterback that I've ever seen, and that's including Baker Mayfield.
Really?
Seriously, this kid on QB1 on Netflix, go watch it. the biggest jerk teammate ever. But, like, he's a stud. He was ranked the number one quarterback coming out of high school for a reason. And he's the first quarterback that Lincoln Riley is actually recruited that's starting there. And he's also, I mean, if you look at any Pro Football Focus, you know, yards, just offensive yards, he's ranked the number one player in the conference. Like, he's got the best grade, even with five interceptions on the year, because the guy has an elite arm. He's going to try to force stuff, but he is a very good quarterback.
Yeah, this might actually be the first game where the secondary just looks terrible. This actually might be the first game where the cornerbacks actually look really bad, and that's just because we just aren't getting any pressure on the quarterback at all, period. So then what are we going to do? I mean, if that doesn't happen, Patterson's going to end up with an itchy trigger finger and start blitzing?
Mm-hmm.
And then we've all seen how that happens in the past.
Yeah, and the one saving grace with them right now is they don't have, you know, they've had stud running backs the past couple of years, guys that have been drafted in the league, and they lost their top, like, four running backs from last year, either between, you know, graduating, transferring, whatever, opting out for the season, and all their receivers are also young. Like, they don't have a CeeDee Lamb this year. They have, you know, they've got four guys who catch the ball a lot, but they only average about 50 to 60 yards a game, and they just spread it out. That's what they're going to do. They're going to try to just spread it out, air it out, and they still don't have a consistent number one, though, right now.
That might be our saving grace.
Yeah.
They always have one person that goes off against us every time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They just haven't figured out who that guy's going to be yet. You know, they've got a bunch of young guys. Their top receiver right now is actually their tight end, which we've seen their tight ends do very well against us in the past. So, you know, you hope we take that away, but then we're going to be out on an island on the cornerback position. So we're going to have to play well on defense.
Well, you know what? Maybe we'll confuse him a little bit. You know, that'll be the interesting thing, see if we can get his head a little bit with our scheme. But I will tell you one thing. I don't know if I don't want to keep him in the pocket, because – I guarantee he can scramble. He can run. It's not like he can't run either. He doesn't have to run.
You gotta keep him in the pocket, but the pocket needs to be small. It can't be. He can't have all the space in the world.
That's right.
I would like to see some delayed blitz with the linebacker, though. Yep. I would like to see that a few times, you know, on Saturdays. But, you know, send Wallow, you know, every now and then, just to, like I said, get in his head, because that's the only way you're going to be able to keep him from shredding you, because those guys cannot stay on an island for 4, 5, 6 seconds every single down. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, these guys are young and they haven't established themselves yet, but they were all very good, high-ranked recruits. They're all very capable, just no one's taken the lead dog role yet.
Well, we're going to definitely have some big plays on offense. We need turnover, too.
Yeah, and that's been, you know, an area they're not great. Rattler got replaced for like a quarter last week against Texas, or 2 weeks ago against Texas, because he was threw two picks, and then he came back and played very well. But so he'll definitely force some things, and we need to take advantage of that.
Well, that's one area I'd like to see this defense kind of get back to, I guess, earlier form, you know, the pre 2015 season, where we actually ended up winning the turnover battle more often than not. And that's something we haven't seen in nearly 5 years out of this TCU defense. So that would be nice to see.
Yep. I feel good about our kicker. How's that? He's good. Yeah, our punter's he's pretty dang good.
I can't say anything bad about special teams. Special teams have been pretty good so far this season.
Outside of
a couple of punts, I mean, you know,
someone's going to return some punts.
Now, yeah, that would be nice.
What's the guy's name?
Well, but wait. Let's at least give some credit where credit's due. That Kansas State punter was phenomenal. His hang time on that thing was amazing. There was no way you could return any of those punts.
Yeah, no. But at the same time, we need to get some good blocks. Can't have holding penalties on kick returns that bring us back. If we do have a good return, we just need someone that can change the game. Because like we've been talking about, it's offense and defense is going to go one way or the other. We need special team players to kind of turn the tide if things are going badly, and just kind of take over the game.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, blocking on kicks has not been good. That's certainly one area the special teams needs to work on. So
yeah.
Was Ed Spielman hurt?
Yeah, Spielman, he's a game time decision, so I doubt that. That means he's not playing. But I agree. You know, you can hope, but to me that means he's not playing. And then did you guys see that Blair Conright, this is a bright spot, the freshman wide receiver, he was named to the freshman All-American watch list last week. So
he should be.
He's our leading receiver with 11 catches, 176 yards, and a TD. So, you know, there's a bright spot. Hopefully, offensively, we can use these young guys, which I was going to bring up too. Did you guys see we had two players enter the portal this week?
Yes.
Both receivers, older receivers, because we are playing a lot of young guys, which is, I guess, a good problem to have. You know, a lot of good programs. This is what happened.
But the thing that happens with us is we play the young guys, they get experience, and then when they get older, we play the young guys again. So the people with experience don't end up playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, these young guys right now,
they're going to be playing.
These guys have been. I mean, last year we had a I can't catch problem. This year, I mean, one of the bright spots to me has been two of the places I was worried about, wide receiver, and I think it's because of the young guys. I mean, I knew what Barber could do, and then the secondary. Our secondary's been pretty solid, I think, you know.
Yeah.
What I thought was going to be some strong points, and I'm not saying it's been terrible, but I kind of agree with Shannon and him talking last week about our linebackers. You know, we got to play a little better there. And then our, you know, front seven, you know, in general. But our pass rush, we got to do something about that. But our cornerbacks have been stellar. Our wide receivers are really good, I thought, too.
Yeah, Noah Daniels has been elite as a corner this year. He's definitely the next NFL guy, you know, out of that secondary at corner. But, yeah, we're going to have to play well this week. We're going to be tested in the back end. We're going to probably see, you know, we're going to have to score. We're going to get scored on. That's just part of it. But, you know, it's a winnable game. Just have to play well. Can't play like we did against State.
They got two losses.
Yeah, exactly. No,
they're out there just beat them.
No, exactly. They're going to make a lot of mistakes, so we gotta capitalize on those.
They've lost to two teams we've lost to.
That's a good point.
Either we're gonna give them a losing record for the first time and three losses, or either we're gonna have to dig ourselves out of a hole all season long.
Well, and they needed four overtimes to beat Texas.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. It is a young team. It is a very winnable game. All these games are very winnable, which, again, harkens back to one of the biggest issues with this TCU team. I mean, they keep teams around until the end of the game, and they just do not know how to finish teams early on.
Yep.
But, you know, these guys are young, as Hunter said. They don't have a guy who's kind of stepped up and become that main guy yet. And the quarterback is great, but he can be rattled. I mean, you saw it a bit in the Texas game. You've seen it in a few other games this season with him. It's just, can our defense actually get to him? Can our defense actually do that? And if not, it's going to be a long, long day for the defense. If they can, and the offense can put some pressure on it, who knows? It'll be interesting to see. But in the end, let's go to predictions. And Ryan, haven't heard from you in a little while. What is your prediction for this game?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm going to go with 35-34. We all have heart attacks. We get gray hairs, more wrinkles, but we prevail.
I certainly hope it's not that close of a game.
I do too.
35-34. All right. Nathan.
I actually think this game will go to overtime. But we
how many overtimes?
I'm gonna say just one.
Okay.
Maybe two. But
that has not been our
strong suit in the past. I think it will be 45-41.
Whoa, high scoring game.
Yeah.
I think it's only with one overtime.
I think we'll go in tied at 40. Oh, so wait, no, 44-41. So I think we'll go in tied at 38. They'll kick a field goal and we'll score a touchdown to win it.
I'd like to see that. That'd be nice. Be a pretty good boost. All right, Hunter.
I'm not confident, but I'm a TCU fan, so I'm gonna. I'm picking us to win, but you know,
you don't look so
38-35 Frogs.
38-35.
I'm not very confident, but I'm gonna have my homer pick because it's what I do on this. But yeah, can't help it. Right. We've got to come out and play good, though.
All right, okay. Dubber. Oh, you're muted. He's muted. He's just going muted. On and on.
Well, I have some great points there, too.
I have to go back and read the lips on the replay.
I think it's going to be a close game. I'd say that every game they played this year is close. Every game we played has been close. The two teams we've lost were close scores with them. They were close scores with us. I just, you know, I'm hoping our offense comes out and plays better. So I'm going to give it a – gosh, we're all in the 30s. It's, well, Nathan went up higher. I'm going to go 38-31. But I have a little more hope. I mean, I don't think that anybody's a world beater in our conference right now.
No.
I mean, you know, Oklahoma's sitting there with two losses. We're giving Oklahoma a little more respect than they deserve. They ain't got no defense. They haven't played defense all year long. I mean, if you, you know,
true.
They did against Missouri State the very first game. But everything else, you know, they've had all kinds of points scored on them, too.
Yeah.
I think if we come out and play good, we'll be all right, you know. But it's just not knowing. It'd just be nice to watch us put all three of them together, offense, defense, and special team. And when we talk about putting the defense together, that might be giving up 30 points. I mean, Oklahoma's going to score.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they don't, then, you know, we'll be all right.
Sean, what about you?
I'm going to go a little bit lower. I'm going to say 24-17.
Whoa!
I okay. know. That's I know. Surprising.
Well, I mean,
I think the defense is going to have a better game than we think.
I hope
we do. I think that I think right now, obviously, the biggest weakness on that defense is going to be the line. But I've got to think over the last 2 weeks, we are not the only ones sitting here who have recognized that. And that at some point in time in the last 2 weeks, Patterson has addressed this issue. And he's not going to just be sitting there blitzing left and right, hoping to actually contain them. So we've seen progress over the last three games with the defense. Progress that's really, really good. I trust our secondary to be able to shut down these receivers if they have the help from the other units. And I think that's what we're going to see. But I don't have confidence that the offense is going to be able to put up 30 points, especially since they were only able to put up, you know, a couple of touchdowns against Kansas State. So I'll say, you know, we'll have three touchdowns. Two of them may be offense. One may actually be a defensive score and then a field goal. And, yeah, so we'll end up winning 24-17, not overtime.
So. What should our tiebreaker be this week? Get creative.
Number of overtimes.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Okay. How many twists?
Yeah.
Hopefully not. All right, I tell you what. Who has more carries? Quarterback or running back?
Total
yeah.
Total field goal.
Who has more carries, quarterback or running back? I agree with that.
Not okay. Total. Just...
Are we talking about the running back as a group? The running back as
yeah, no, no. You want to do it as a group? I was going to say just individually. Like, who has the
individually, and that's terrible because he's running for his life at times.
Yeah. Okay, as a group.
Let's do the turnover battle.
I want Max to the tiebreaker.
What do you want for the tiebreaker?
I hope I proved wrong.
What?
I hope I proved myself wrong.
What did you say?
I said I want Max if we're going quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
We're still talking about carries. Yeah.
Well, I think we're all going to say quarterback.
Yeah. I would like to go turnovers. Who wins the turnover battle and what it is, like plus one our way, plus two, plus their way, you know.
Oh, okay. Well,
that way. We've both been a little turnover prone. We gave over up an offensive touch or defensive touchdown last week. You know, they've given up a bunch of turnovers. So,
okay. So how do I word that?
How many plus 20 down inside the 20? That's always a good one.
Yeah. Go plus two TCU.
Plus two TCU right, so from Nathan. All right.
Plus two. Okay. And then Sean, you are?
I'll say plus one TCU.
Okay. Hunter?
Plus one as well.
WC?
Copycat.
Crap. Plus three just to be put up with.
So wait, plus when you say like plus, that. Does that mean?
That means
you,
we have more, two more than the like two more. Than
we're going to get three more turnovers than they're going to get.
Yeah.
I would love that two. If you can get a plus three, Dubber. That'd be
if
awesome.
If we get plus three, we better be winning the game.
Yeah.
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 We're going to have to fumble. And we're going to play flawlessly.
All right. Ryan, how
we're
many?
We're going to turn the ball over.
At plus two.
Plus two. Okay. All right.
We're going to play over.
Well, it's going to be an interesting game, that's for sure. And so it's 11 a.m. start.
And the weather is going to be beautiful that day. Partly cloudy, 66 for the high. It's good.
Yeah. Too bad there's no tailgating.
But we can all crowd together in the concourse and drink it for happy hour.
Yeah, you got to love these really weird application of rules.
Yeah.
If you're outside, you just see that you can sit in a restaurant with 10 people. So if you're outside, why can't you sit outside with, you know,
people you know? I mean, yeah. That one is completely backwards to me.
It's backwards to me, too.
And plus, it's your choice outside. You can spread out as much as you want. You can hang out with whomever you want. It's, I don't know. Don't get me started.
Let's just win, and we'll all be in a better mood.
Yes.
This is true.
Amen.
Having to go like 2 weeks after playing bad just sucks.
We are going to be able to talk about next week about how we gave Oklahoma their third loss. We gave them a losing record, at least at this point in time of the year.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's hope so.
It's going to happen. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
I hope so.
Hunter, a bath dinner.
Okay.
Del Frisco's, right?
So, Nathan, what did Mark have to say today? How's he doing?
He's good. We were kind of talking about how crazy everything's been with all the COVID stuff and all their new rules they have to go by. I was talking to one of my other friends that works there just with like recruiting because they're not allowed to have like recruits on the field. So
you want to clarify who Mark is for the listeners?
Ryan.
Mark Cohen. I forget his official title, but he basically is the voice
of information director.
Yeah,
SID.
Voice of TCU. He does everything. Everything that you see online regarding any stats, facts, that's Mark. Mark gets the players ready for all their interviews. He's kind of the glue over there. So he's a good guy.
Phenomenal person.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you there, Nathan.
Well, I was talking about one of my friends and saying like recruiting kind of is hard this time because they can't do on the field. They can only take them up to the suite for the game. They have a suite up in the new Legends area side of the building or stadium. Nice. But other than that, I mean, just kind of talking about how crazy everything's been. like, obviously everybody would like to have a better record, but we're playing football, so that's the thing that matters.
Yeah.
Things are,
I think you're right. We can't lose focus of that.
Yeah, things are definitely on lockdown there. We just getting into the facilities, everything, you got to, like, get your temperature checked, wear a wristband the whole time. It's interesting getting in and out of there. I was going around. We actually ran stadiums today, so it was fun. But and just kind of the whole campus in general is just very different, I guess, the atmosphere, just because of everything's so kind of one ways, or everyone's wearing masks. Everyone's kind of like hesitant to be around people. And you can kind of see it at the game a little bit, in terms of, like, you know, obviously we're at a certain capacity. Things are just different, and it's weird. It takes getting used to. So.
Okay. Have y'all noticed, and maybe it's just for us that are us over 40 years old, but do you find yourself, when you can't hear something, I have to pull my mask down to hear? Like, do you find yourself doing stuff like that?
Okay. Guys do the same thing when they need to, when they can't find out where the street that they're looking for is, they'll turn the radio down.
It's true. It's so funny. I mean, we all have the masks on at the game, but anytime somebody comes up to talk, you pull it down so you can, like, communicate. You feel like it, you know, you can't communicate with it on, but
yep. It is hard. I had someone, like, I was at work, and this lady's, like, trying to yell, and I'm, like, right in front of her, and she, like, pulls her mask down to yell, like, while facing me, and I was just like, really? Like, I don't care, but, like, if y'all didn't yell at us for social distancing, don't pull your mask down to yell at us.
Right. Well, it's so true.
People don't understand that. That's my dad's problem. I picked him up one day, and we went to a store, and he wore his mask until he walked up to somebody. And every time he walked up to somebody, he pulled his mask and the top of him. I was like, Dad, what was the purpose of it? Kind of. You know, if you wear your mask, you wear your mask. Yeah. Well, they can't hear me, or I can't hear them. Well, I know, but pulling your mask down, that has nothing to do with your ears. So.
Yeah, it takes some getting used to, for sure.
I like watching people now with these face shields that they've got. Have you seen these? You've seen these face shields, right? I love it watching them while they're driving around, and they're the only one in the car, and they're wearing their face shield. It's like,
I only ever, like, have my mask on when I'm, like, outside. If I forget that I, like, just left the building, I can take it off. I just get used to it for a second. I ask, why am I wearing this?
Yeah, I know. I've started to get used to it, where I've gotten in the car and I've started driving with it on my face, and I'm like, what the heck am I doing? And, you know, because I hate wearing them, but yeah, you kind of forget about them after a while. But I tell you what, I have a ton of different masks, and they don't stay up. I mean, I'm constantly pulling it up over my nose, and then it's tickling my nose. So I'm constantly, like, scratching my nose, and it's just.
When you start sneezing, and then people are like, no. Yeah.
I wear a gator now. I wear my Killer Frogs gator.
Yeah, same here.
Yes.
I'm styling down. I got my little purple whatever around my neck, it looks like, scarf or whatever.
But I wore it to go golfing.
Good, good. Well, I've got plenty of those if y'all need more. And I've had a lot of requests for them. So let me know if anybody wants any. They're $10. So that's about our cost on them. We aren't making any money on them, but it's fun to see them out there. The GMFP one made it up on the Jumbotron last week, which was fun to see.
So, yeah, that was.
And that guy literally got one from me in the club that day. He was like, "I gotta have one of those." So.
Yeah, it was the talk in the press box.
Oh, was
all
it?
All seven of us up there. Yeah. Yeah. So the one person next to me was like, "What does that mean?"
Whatever you want it to mean.
Yeah.
No comment. Yeah. So it was all good. Well, hopefully this Saturday we have something else to celebrate, and we're not coming back here talking about masks and or election talk. But with that, I think we've come to the end of the podcast, unless there's anything that I'm missing. Are we all good?
No, we're good.
All right. Well, That will put a cap on episode 150. Want to thank everybody who's listening to us out there. Of course, Killer Frogs can be found on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And of course, you can find Killer Frogs on all the major social media accounts. And by all means, if you haven't already, go to killerfrogs.com, go in and click on forums and sign up for a free account, and you can discuss TCU Athletics and join us in the score prediction thread. Tell us what is your score prediction and what is your over-under on turnovers, and whether or not you think we're going to have more than one overtime this week. So we'll see how that goes. And, of course, again, thank everybody out there who has listened to us. It is amazing that we've gotten to 150 of these, looking for another 150 to go. So with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get the frogs up and we get to say,
Go Frogs!
Yay, we kept it under an hour.
How about that? 48
minutes.
That
actually,
never happened again.
Yeah. Good one.